Thank you, brother. Good morning, everyone. As always, I'm delighted and honored to be with you here at the Kingwood Church of Christ. I'm going to move this because I want to be able to see you right over here. And I'm just delighted to be with you. And my congratulations to you on the announcement that you've hired a new lead minister, and my hats off to your search committee and to your eldership. And I believe that good things are in store. I tell you what, he's walking into a really, really good situation. This is a fantastic church family, and I wish for you all of God's best. My wife and I, we continue to pray for you, and we'll cheer you on. And Lord willing, I get to be with you maybe two or three more Sundays, and that's something I always look forward to. So the title of today's message is A Small Coat with a Big Message. A small coat with a big message, and on this Mother's Day. Let me just put a photo up here of my mom. She was a great lady. Her name is Virginia. She passed away 13 years ago. If she were living today, I mean, she is living today, but if she were living in this world today, she would be 104. And she was a spiritual force. She was had a great sense of humor. She was smart. She was a businesswoman. She was a great mom. She and my dad were married over 60 years. My mom, my grandparents, they were nice people, but they weren't, people of robust faith. My mom became a Christian when she was later in her teenage years and started going to church. But she and my dad married when they were just right around 20, 21. And my dad didn't become a Christian until after he came back from World War II. He was a World War II combat soldier. For those of you who know history, he fought in Belgium and in Germany. And then he became a Christian in his later 30s, around the time I was born. But my mom was a spiritual force in our family. She did not believe in gentle parenting. Now, don't get me wrong, she was gentle, but she was very high affection, but also very high direction. She had expectations. And as a kid, whenever I was quite uncooperative, I had a number of what you might call MLEs. You know what an MLE is, a meaningful learning experience. And so I had several of those MLEs, and my mom, she taught me a lot, quoted a lot of things. One thing I remember her saying over and over and over, now Ronnie, you remember that bad friendships corrupt good character. And she would say that, you be wise in selecting your friends. Bad friendships corrupt good character. I thought, that's pretty smart of my mom to say that. And then one day, I'm in junior high school, middle school, I'm in Bible class, we're going through 1 Corinthians, and I think it's verse 33, and I read, bad friendships corrupt good character. And I'm thinking, the Bible's quoting my mom right here. I mean, look at this. And come to find out it's vice versa, but she was a fountain of wisdom, and I honor her today, even as I honor you. Now, some days on the calendar, they just carry more emotion than others, and Mother's Day is one of those days. For some, it's a day full of sweet memories and sweet experiences, and for others, maybe not so much. It can highlight a difficult dynamic. Wherever you are, we want you to know the Lord is with you, and as a church family, we can rejoice with those who are rejoicing, and we can weep and come alongside those who weep. You do not walk this journey alone. But on this Mother's Day, I want to say just a happy one to the moms, grandmoms, foster moms, and all the women in this church family who exert such a wonderful presence and influence among us all. Now, some people think that, talking about Mother's Day, a church celebrating Mother's Day, it's kind of sappy, it's sentimental. The Bible says, you give honor to whom honor is due. And that although that might sound sentimental, it might sound just utterly relational. Listen, my friends, it's very strategic. You show me a church that gives honor and practices giving honor to people who are deserving of honor, I'll show you a church where you will find muscle tone in there. You'll find muscle tone. You'll find structure. You'll find a sense of gratitude because what? We're paying attention. We're paying attention to one another. And if anyone is deserving of honor, I believe that it is moms. About 20 miles north of Jerusalem sat the little town of Shiloh. And Shiloh was not very impressive at all. No skyline, no grand marble structures, just a rough worship center that Joshua had erected after his victory in the land. And there was a crude temple there. The Ark of the Covenant rested there. And the people who worshiped the one true God came there to worship. And if you walked into Shiloh 1,100 years before Christ, you would have seen an unusual scene. There was an old priest by the name of Eli, and he shuffled around the temple courts. He was elderly. He was overweight. He wasn't a particularly bad man. He wasn't a particularly great man. He had two sons who were incorrigible and immoral, and Eli really didn't do much about it. He just sort of shrugged his shoulders and said, boys will be boys. But everywhere Eli went, there was a little boy that followed him. And when Eli would go check the sacrifices, that little boy went right along. When Eli tended the lamps in the temple, that little boy went right along. When he prepared the bread or the incense, that little boy was following and helping. And that little boy's name was Samuel. And if you looked carefully, you would notice something very touching about young Samuel. He wore a little robe. He wore a small coat. It was handmade, carefully stitched, lovingly measured. The seams were straight. The fabric had been chosen with care. And that small robe was a testimony. It had a story that that little boy following aged Eli around and helping, it would become obvious. That's not Eli's son. That's not Eli's grandson, a great-grandson. But that boy's got a mother. And her love has been condensed into that small coat that carries a big, big message. Let me tell you the story. Samuel's father was Elkanah. And he was a faithful man from Ramah. And Elkanah had two wives. Don't spend much time on that. He had two wives. You know, sometimes the Bible records something, doesn't endorse it, just records it. That's the way it is. Peninnah and Hannah. And Peninnah had children. And Hannah did not have children, and she desperately wanted to have children. Well, every year, the family would travel up to Shiloh. And every year, Hannah dreaded the trip because they would go to Shiloh to offer sacrifices. And imagine, if you will, sort of like Thanksgiving Day, serving the turkey and all the food. Well, Elkanah, with his two wives, Peninnah had children, Hannah did not. He would serve the plates, and he would give a plate to Peninnah, and it was stacked high. Why? because she would take it and serve the food to her children. And then when it came time to give a plate to Hannah, and just have one slice of turkey. And Peninnah would rub it in. The Bible says that she just mocked Hannah. She needled Hannah. And can't you just hear her? Can't you just hear Peninnah saying, "Oh, Hannah, look at this plate. I think it's bigger this year than it was last year. Don't you think so?" Well, one year, Hannah walked away from that meal absolutely heartbroken. She was overwhelmed with grief. And she went to the temple and she prayed. And it's not a polished prayer that she's praying. This is an ugly crying prayer. Have you ever prayed an ugly crying desperate prayer? That's what Hannah's doing right now. Her lips are moving. Maybe some sound is coming out, but you can't make it out. And old Eli, he sees her. And you know what he assumes? He assumes she's drunk, which tells you a little something about the spiritual climate at that time. Here she is, here's this woman crying, weeping, and she's praying. Eli thinks she's drunk. "Woman, put away your wine." And Hannah says, "I'm not drunk. I'm just brokenhearted." And then she made a vow. She said, "Lord, if you will give me a child, I'll give this child back to you." And that vow changed everything, because at first, Hannah just wanted a child more for herself. Now she wants a child to offer this child to God. And my friends, isn't that really for all of us a turning point of spiritual maturity? When I reach a point where I don't say, "God, just bless my plans. I've got my plans. I just want you to bless my plans." And I come to the point where I say, "Not my will be done, but yours. And Lord, would you use me for your purposes?" Eli, "I'm not drunk. I'm brokenhearted." And here's what Eli says to her. Eli the priest, and then he says this. He says, "You go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant the request that you have asked of him." So Hannah goes home. Yada, yada, yada. Sometime later, Hannah is holding a baby boy in her arms. And she named him Samuel, because his name sounds like "asked of God" in the language in which she spoke. And so every time she would call his name, she remembered, "I asked of God, and God answered." So the years passed quickly. Samuel learns to walk, learns to laugh, learns to say "mama," and Hannah treasures every moment. But she knows there's coming a day. And when Samuel was weaned, most scholars think around 3 years old or so, the family makes a long trip back to Shiloh. And when they arrive, Hannah takes little Samuel by the hand and brings him to Eli. And she says, "Eli, do you remember me? You remember me? You remember that woman praying in the temple just a few years ago? Not the polished prayer, but that desperate, heartbroken, ugly prayer. You thought I was drunk, and then you realized I wasn't. I was making a request, and you told me to go in peace, and may God grant the answer to my prayer." God answered it. And then, perhaps one of the greatest acts of faith in salvation history, Hannah takes the little hand of Samuel and puts it into the old hand of Eli. She gave God her greatest treasure. Not because it was easy. Not because she felt detached from Samuel. but because she believed that Samuel belonged to God before he ever belonged to her. And I would say to all of my fellow parents and grandparents, that is still true today. My children are not ultimately mine. My children and my grandchildren. And by the way, you're looking at a man old enough to have a grandchild who is now a high school graduate. That happened yesterday. My children and my grandchildren, they're not ultimately mine. They are gifts temporarily entrusted to us by God. And our assignment is not to raise children just to succeed in sports or academics or business. All of that can be used, don't get me wrong. But our primary aim is to raise them to know Christ, to love Christ, to serve Christ. And everything else is secondary. Now here's a little detail I love in the story. Reading from 1 Samuel chapter 2. But Samuel, though he was only a boy, served the Lord. He wore a linen garment like that of a priest. And each year his mother made a small coat for him and brought it to him when she came with her husband for the sacrifice. And before they returned home, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give you other children to take the place of this one she gave to the Lord." And the Lord blessed Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. And meanwhile, Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord, and that he did. Oh my goodness, it was Samuel who led the nation of Israel in a great revival back to the Lord. It was Samuel who anointed the very first king of Israel, Saul. It was Samuel who anointed Israel's greatest king, King David. And when you go to the New Testament and you're reading in Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith, you get to verse 32, you're going to see the name of Samuel. Every year, Hannah returned to Shiloh, and she brought Samuel a new little coat. Can't you just see her making it? Maybe some evenings by candlelight. Every little stitch saying, "Samuel, I love you. I love the Lord. I belong to the Lord, and you do too." And that small coat becomes a testimony. And he may have lived in the temple with Eli, but he never forgot. He has a godly mother. And moms, may I just say to you today, I do not underestimate, and I hope you will not underestimate, the glory of your ordinary faithfulness. Your love is not generic. Like that small coat, it's very specific. It shows up in very, very specific ways, very tangible ways, very daily ways. And actually, the story of Samuel, in some ways, points to another mom. You might think, perhaps Eunice in the New Testament, as she would stand in the doorway and kiss her son Timothy by as he leaves to preach the gospel with a missionary named Paul. But I think ultimately it points to a mother named Mary, who had a child she dearly loved, conceived by the Holy Spirit. She would take her son Jesus to a temple, and then someday she would give him up. Samuel could serve God's people. But only the Son of Mary can save God's people. And praise God, Mary was willing to give him up. And Jesus honored him, honored her, and even from the cross asked John to take care of her. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life for us. He lived a life we cannot live. And He died a death He did not deserve. He died the death we deserve. And only because of Jesus can our sins be forgiven. And as we were singing today about I'll live in glory by and by. I love that song. And it is so true because it's written in the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ. Some of you are familiar with a painting by Norman Rockwell called Breaking Home Ties. There it is. It's the painting of a goodbye scene, and it sort of reminds me of what happens here in the book of 1 Samuel. The picture is of a young man getting ready to leave the farm and go out into the world on his own. He and his dad are at the train station. They're sitting on the running board of the old family pickup truck. There's a bit of sadness in the father's face, almost as if he wants to say something, but maybe can't quite find the words. And the boy's face is a mixture, too. He's eager to go out on his own, but he's a little sad to leave the family home. Even the family collie seems to know that something's up. But what's interesting about this painting is, where's Mom? Evidently, Mom has already said her goodbyes back at the family farm, maybe out front by the swing. But if you look closer at that painting, notice how that young man's clothes are so neat. Look at that lumpy bundle he has in his lap, covered with a little pink napkin. That's his lunch that Mom's prepared for him. That mom, like Hannah, was able to take all of this big love, but in that moment, condense it right down into something very, very specific and tangible and touchable and daily. Most of us in this room, figuratively, have had a small coat. Or we've had pressed clothes or a lunch made covered in a pink napkin. My point being is that my story is I am not a Christian today just because my mom said so. But I am a Christian today because my mom was one of the people who launched me into the story of faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm wondering if I'm speaking to somebody out there right now, or someone watching. And there was a time when you were launched into a faith, when you were launched into the Christian faith, by your mom, by your dad, maybe by a grandparent. But you've discarded it. You've put it on a shelf. And the light's gone out. I want to invite you to come home afresh and rekindle your pure and simple devotion and love for Jesus Christ. One more thing. There's a Jewish educator and writer by the name of Zipporah Heller. And many of you know this, that Jewish people and many Messianic Jews, you know, people with a Jewish background who are strong believers in Jesus, will celebrate the woman of valor, which is not pop culture. It's based on that Proverbs 31 teaching about a wise woman who is actually, I mean, she's a wife, she's a mom, she's got business sense to her. Here's the point. She's a great shopper. She is. And Zipporah Heller makes the point that all of us who were parents, moms, dads, all of us, one quality in a really strong parent is that we are good shoppers. And I'm not talking about goods and services. That's important. But we shop values. We shop ideals. And moms, I honor you today for being a wise shopper when it comes to the values and ideals and beliefs that you bring home. There are certain beliefs and values and ideals you'll say, yes, I want that in the house. Yes, I want that in my family. But there are other cultural beliefs and norms you say, no, I'm going to leave that on the shelf. I'm going to leave that on the shelf. Moms, God bless you. And to everybody here, if your mom is living, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you. That's one of God's 10 commandments. Honor your mother. Teenagers, during those difficult years, when you think your parents don't know much, but they do, honor your mom with obedience. And it will go well with you if you will obey them after one request. If you want to be trusted, you prove yourself to be trustworthy. And as your mother ages, say to her, Mom, you never need to worry. I am in your corner. I will see you through, and I will take care of you. Here in just a moment, we're going to sing a song, and this is a time where you can make a response if you'd like to be baptized, if you'd like to ask for the prayers of the church. This is a great time to do so. Just know this church loves you and cares for you and loves your family and is in your family's corner as well. I'd like to lead us in prayer. If you would, please standing, I'll pray, and then we'll sing a concluding song. Father God, we ask you to pour your love, your mercy, and your grace on every family here today. And it's our prayer that where there are places of weakness or brokenness, that they'll be healed. I ask that you would release your righteousness and restrain the presence of evil. I ask that you stand against every kind of abuse, unbelief, alcoholism, drugs, neglect, materialism, anger, anything that might bring hurt, harm, fear, or danger to any family. Every family faces so much today. And so, Lord, we cast our cares and our burdens on you because we know that you care for us. Would you help every single one of us to appreciate and value the people in our lives? Give us words and acts of kindness at the right times to demonstrate your love to one another. Allow us to be humble and patient. And specifically today, do we honor and give thanksgiving for faithful mothers? We can never say thank you enough. Father, please cover us with a blanket of grace and mercy. We thank you and we ask it all by the authority of Jesus Christ. In his name do we pray. Amen.